Amen. I'm glad that God gave me mercy. I'm glad that God gave me grace. Hallelujah. I had to put up with you. I needed grace. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Love everybody. Glad everybody's in the house of the Lord today. We're going to try to bring the word that I had a couple Sundays ago, and I spoke a little bit about it, but I just felt like this is what we needed because it's our theme. And the theme is we must come together. And whether you like it or not, we've got to come together. Whether you like that person next to you or not, you got to come together. Whether you like your spouse or not, you got to come together. Whether you like your kids or not, you got to come together. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, we got to come together. Amen. Amen. Come together. Whoa. Wow. Y'all know that, huh? Okay. Thought I was the only one that was bad. Hallelujah. Thank God God saved you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation. You didn't know you had a vocation. You didn't know that you were enlisted already. Some of you are like, man, I don't have a purpose. Well, here's your vocation. Wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in that is your vocation, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's your vocation. We've got to become united. We've got to come together. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. On January 20th, 2017, the 45th President of the United States gave his inaugural address. Anybody know who the 45th President is? Good. Y'all know your history. It was a changing of the guards on January 20th. A Democratic president passed the baton to a Republican president. There were many that were there that did not like Trump. There were many that were there that did not share his beliefs or morals or even convictions of President Trump, but they showed up. Can I tell you tonight, there's something to be said of just showing up. Showing your support. Showing you care. Showing you'll stand for them. Showing you'll get behind them. Even though you may not care for them yet, there is a power in showing up. Well, that's not my ministry. Well, that's not my department. Well, just show up. Well, I'm not in charge. Well, show up. If you want them to support you, you ought to support them. Amen. It's a give and take. Somebody shout, we must show up. Amen. So President Trump got behind the podium, and his very first words were taken from Psalms chapter 133, verse 1. It blew me away at first because I was like, wow, he's quoting scripture. Our last president quote much scripture, if any. And yet this cat that I didn't realize even had any kind of religious background yet threw down Psalms 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what?
Unity.
Unity. President Trump mentioned that if America could just come together, he said we would be unstoppable as a nation. He said if we could put down the partisan lines and just come together, there is a power. There is an unstoppable force. Can I tell you, Abundant Life Center, that if we could just, number one, show up. Number two, if we could just get behind the vision. And number three, if we can become kingdom-minded. If we could just come together, behold, how good and how pleasant it is.
Amen.
For brethren, we are brethren.
Right.
Somebody shout, we're brethren.
Brethren.
whether you like it or not, we're part of the family of God. When you were baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible said you took on what? You took on his name. And thereby, because you took on his name, it's not your last name anymore. It's not Rodriguez. It's not Milano. It's not Grogan. It's not Abbott. You took on Jesus Christ. And because of that, you became a part of the body of Christ, the body of believers. You came apart to become brethren. Somebody shout, we be brethren. And if we're brethren, we must come together in unity. United we stand, but divided we fall. We need unity in our church. We need unity in our Spanish congregation. We need unity in our youth. We need unity in Hyphen. We need unity in outreach. We need unity in ushers and greeters and hostess and on in Sunday school. We need to come together as brethren. Somebody clap your hands. We're not in a competition to one another. They're not greater because they're bigger. They're not better because they sing or they preach. No, we are part of the body of Christ and we've got to come together. We are not building our own kingdom, but we're building the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I've come tonight to declare war on the enemy that as for me and my house, we gonna learn to come together. Can I tell you, the devil does not like it when we talk about unity. He does not like it when we dwell together in unity because the enemy, the adversary, the devil wants us to become divided, wants to get us bitter, wants to get us offended, wants to get us off the kingdom-minded mentality, and he wants to get us to think it on the inside that, hey, he done me wrong, and she done me wrong, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm telling you, we've got to arise in this hour and let the devil, the adversary, know that as for me, an abundant life sinner, we're going to come together. Rich or old, young or poor, we must come together. We must dwell together. We must be united. If we can just show up, if we can just come together, we would be unstoppable. We would be unmovable. We would be unbreakable if we could just get together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. 2018, that is our theme. It is together. Together we can. Together we will. Together we shall. And together we win. Everything we do together. Every ministry, every department, every outreach effort, everything we do it together. There is a power in coming together. For one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. I don't know about you, but 1 + 1 = and even 1 + 2 = 3. When man does it, he adds. But when God does it, he multiplies. If we could come together and we do what we can, then God begins to show up and he shows us what he can do. We may not have much. We may not have the right words. We may not have the right intellect. But if we can get together and we can get God in the equation, he shows us what it means to multiply. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't understand it either. How a God could take three fish and two loaves of bread and feed 5,000. I don't know how God could take water and turn it into wine. I don't know how God can put a coin in a fish's mouth to pay Uncle Sammy. Didn't somebody come to the Lord and say, should we render to Caesar or should we render to God? And God said, come on out. Had coin from the fish's mouth. And he said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God. I'm telling you, God is concerned about your needs, but you got to learn to put God first. You got to learn to put the kingdom first. If we could come together in this, I'm telling you, God can do some great things. God can fight for us. God can fight for our marriage. He can fight for our kids. He can fight for our future. I'm telling you, with God, nothing is impossible. Your marriage isn't too far gone. Your kids aren't too far gone that God can't reach up and say, I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to change them. I'm going to make them come together again. You get God in the equation, and God begins to speak life into things that were dead. But you've got to learn to come together. We must. Somebody shout that. We must come together in 2018. Now listen to Pastor very carefully. If you think and I'm preaching about you, I am. If you think I have an axe to grind, I do. Because I'm after spirits tonight. I'm after division tonight. Division has no place in the house of God. And we've got to understand, you're my brother, you're my sister, and it's together that we fight this thing. Together we will, together we shall, together we win. Come on, ALC, we've got to come together. Offense has got to go. Bitterness has got to go. Unforgiveness has got to go. Leave that outside. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they said. You don't know what she posted. You don't know what happened 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Only comes on Sunday nights. She doesn't deserve to be treated kindly. Really? I've got news for you. Listen to Pastor. Here's my response to you. Over somebody that's done you wrong and done you dirty and got you bitter and got you offended. Here is my words. Get your pen and write it down. Here it is. Get over it. In the song of Frozen, let it go, baby. Who really cares? Don't hold on to a grudge. Don't be unkind with one another. Learn to love. Learn to let it go. Learn to embrace it. Because if you keep it in, it becomes a poison. It becomes a plague. And it becomes so divisive. You've got to let it go. And don't talk about it anymore. You say, well, Pastor, I need scripture before I can let it go. All right, Ephesians 4, thank you for asking. Ephesians 4, 29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of what? Your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here you go, verse 32. And be ye kind. If we could adopt one thing right there, if we could adopt that in our home, in our family, in our relationships, in our kids, in our work environment, in our neighborhood, if we can learn to be kind one to another, it would solve a lot of problems. You wouldn't have to come to me after service and say, Pastor, we got to talk. Pastor, we need help. Actually, I don't need help. He does. She does. Set them straight. And usually when they say that, I know I'm not gunning for them. I'm gunning for the one that says, sick them. I ain't going to sick nobody. Be kind one to another. I remember counseling with some people that the wife would take off the ring and say, I'm not putting this on until he treats me better. I'm like, hello? I've never read that before. And it took us 3 months to find out what they really needed. 3 months. Put gray hair on my head. Caused me to go to In-N-Out and eat double doubles. Cheese on the fries, animal style. But I remember saying, okay, what is it? What will make you happy? He said, meatloaf on the table and ice cold tea. I said, what? And I said, okay, if you're telling me she'll give you meatloaf and she'll put tea on, you'll be a happy-go-lucky camper. He goes, yeah. I said, what do you want? She said, I just want to be acknowledged. I wouldn't say, hey, babe, good to see you. Would you like to talk? I said, so you're telling me, after 3 months of counseling, you want meatloaf and tea, and you just want to hear him say, babe, you're looking good. How you doing today? And everything will be all right. Could we sum it up by saying, if you can learn to be kind one to another, if you can love one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. Amen. The problem is many of us have forgotten how God has forgiven us. We have forgotten what it was like to be a dirty, rotten sinner, scoundrel, knucklehead. But God hasn't forgotten. But yet we like to mask it. Well, I put a tie on. I fixed my hair. I'm looking good. You know what I'm saying? But I understand that God says, I don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. You may come in here thinking that you got everybody food and they think you're some great person. But God said, I know your heart. And it's time for us to put the spotlight on ourselves and say, God, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Let me learn to love. Let me learn to forgive. Let me learn to be kind one to another. Because if God can forgive me, then I ought to forgive one another. And I pray that before this service ends, that we would get a fresh baptism of forgiveness. Amen. That we would learn to forgive. This morning I talked about it, that we shout over that scripture, and we should shout when we talk about give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We love that verse, but it goes on to say, for with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you the same. If you don't forgive, it's not coming back. If you don't be kind, it's not coming back. If you don't love, it's not coming back. But if you can learn to forgive, forgiveness comes back. If you can learn to love, love comes back. If you can learn to show mercy, mercy comes back. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying be kind one to another, tender-hearted. We must speak that which is good. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live what? Peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Can I give somebody a little 411? Let God handle it. Let God work it out. God keeps a great record book. But the minute you pick up that mud and you throw it back is the minute you get dirty. Let it go. Don't be held captive by it any longer. But learn to love. Learn to forgive. Because if I can forgive and if I can love Brother Juarez, then God can forgive me and God can love me. And I can adopt that scripture, how good and how pleasant it is for men and women to dwell together in unity. The month of January has been designated as together we what? We fast. We put the kingdom first. Howbeit these things come but by prayer and fasting. I met with our MIT missions and ministers in training earlier today. And I said, you know what? We're going to do a 31 days of fasting in February. And they're like, ooh, fasting again? And I said, yeah, fasting from gossip. Fasting from negativity. Fasting from drama. Fasting from unforgiveness. Fasting from bitterness. Fasting from wrath. We got to get a new baptism of that. That junk ain't coming in. I'm speaking only things that are honest and good report. We've got to learn to speak the right things. You can't get on this thing and control your spirit, then get off that thing. You get so mad because someone posted something and you feel like you're the God's holy detective and you're just teaching them, well, God spoke to me. No, he didn't. If you're going to blow them up and you're going to rebuke them and you're going to chastise them in an open forum, God didn't give it to you. You're not tender-hearted. But you say, Pastor, I've got to. Well, then private message them. Pick up the phone and call them. I'm telling you why. A lot of people don't pick up the phone and call people and tell them because they're chicken. Text is the easy way. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Pastor, can't come to church tonight. Not feeling good. Really? Where are you going? About 8 o'clock. Well, I got dinner plans and, oh. I had a call earlier from somebody that called me and they said, hey, I'm not feeling good. Do you think it'd be okay if I miss church? And I said, what are you doing after church? You got any plans? Well, yeah, we're going to go here and there. And I said, well, if you can go here and there, don't you think you should go to church? I know we all work jobs and we don't call in jobs a lot, but we call in the house of God a lot. And the reason is because it's not in your spirit. Your favorite preacher ain't preaching. Your favorite singer ain't singing. And it's easier to sit back on that recliner and take care of flesh. You take care of flesh, that's when negativity and stuff comes in. But you make up your mind and says, you know what, baby? When the doors of that church is open, I'm coming to the house of God. Why? Because I want this flesh to know that the flesh is not in charge. My spirit is. I need to get filled up with the Holy Ghost because my marriage depends on it. My kids depend on it. I've got neighbors depending on me. And if I don't get this together, then I mess it up. Someone said, well, Pastor, how do you know someone's spiritual? Let's read Galatians chapter 6. Thank you for asking. Brethren, if a man be overtaken at a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Destroy such a one. Go tell somebody on Facebook about what they did. Send them a message. I know where you were. I know what you were wearing. I knew who you were with. Restore such a one. Pick up the phone or go to their house and say, you know what?
I've been concerned about you. I just want you to know I'm here for you. When you start loving people, when you start being kind with one another, when you stop being so judgmental and being so self-righteous and so holier than thou, I got a problem with that. Because I'm not trying to be holy like you. I'm trying to be holy like him. I care less how long your sleeve length is and how long your hair is. I'm really worried about your spirit. Can I tell you the true a secret of holiness? Write this down. The true secret of holiness is holiness in secret. When nobody else knows and nobody else sees. I'm being holy not for you, but I'm being holy for the Lord is holy. And I've got to watch how I act. I've got to watch how I react. I've got to watch how I speak. I've got to watch the things I say because I've got to learn to control me. Bible talks about he that can control his spirit is stronger than he that can conquer a city. Okay? Your family's not watching you in blessing. Your family's watching you in adversity. And how are you going to react to that? And how are you going to react to someone talking about your mama and somebody talking about your daddy? You know, when growing up, you don't talk about my mama. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Well, my heavenly father's bigger than everybody's daddy put together. And my daddy said, if he hurts you, pray for him. If he doesn't make you feel good, bless him. Turn it around the kingdom way. Not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but love them. Kill by love. Right. Say, Pastor, it doesn't feel good. No, it doesn't feel good, but it is right. Can I tell you, it's always right. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10 says this, as we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto what? Especially unto what? The household of faith. Thank God for everybody else. But we're especially to do good with one another. You may not like one another, but you're called to love one another. You're called to do good, especially to those that are the household of faith. We must be kind one to another, especially to the household of faith. We must forgive one another, especially to those in the household of faith. We must show mercy one to another, especially to those that are the household of faith. We must be united one to another, especially to those, and on and on and on, to the household of faith. We must learn to come together. If we can learn to come together, watch what happens. I'm wrapping up very quickly, Brother Alex, if you want to rescue me. I've been meddling a little bit, but that's okay to meddle. As we need, in 2018, we can't afford to play games. We can't afford to go through motions. We got to get this down deep on the inside. We've got to get a refreshing of our joy. We've got to get a refreshing of love. We've got to get a refreshing of unity. We've got to get a refreshing of being kind and tender-hearted. We've got to get a refreshing of the kingdom's values. Because if we could get together, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they together that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. It's exactly what I want to see. I'm ready for Tulare, California, Abundant Life Center, to see a 3,000 soul revival. The way it's going to happen is we've got to learn to come together. Put down the petty ideas and the notions and come together. God will give us a breaking, net breaking revival. Verse 42 says, and they, who's they? Us, together. together. It's an old song that just came in my brain. Ebony and ivory. You know that song. Side by side on my piano. We've got to learn to come together. We can learn to come together. It's not rich or poor. It's not young or old. It's not black or white. We're all one. We are all one. We've got to learn to come together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We've got to get in the Word. The Bible says, Brother Rincon, study to show thyself proved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, doctrine. Don't just take pastors' words for this. Don't just take bishops' word for this. I mean, he's been here 45 years. But what if he just gets off in the way? How are we going to know? We got to study. Paul said, follow me as I. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Well, how am I going to know? I've got to get in doctrine together. And what? Fellowship. Can I tell you, I spend more time with all of you than I do my blood family. And I love every minute of it. Because I love every one of you. Every one of you matters. And we need a new baptism of love. We've got to love Brother Adrian. Thank God for you, Brother Adrian. I'm so godly proud of you. Baptized in Jesus' name. Now an usher for Abundant Life Center. Worshiper. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. I'm so proud of the Cervantes family. Love them so dearly. Got to break bread last night. Got to fellowship. God's got a lot of great things for you. You've just dabbled in what God has for you. But it's going to blow your mind. What the Lord's going to raise you up. Ministries all over both of you. God's going to take you to areas you've never been before. God's going to show you things of the Spirit you've never even dreamt possible. God's hands on you. I'm telling you that if we'll just learn to connect, to come early and stay late, get involved with everything, fellowship, and I know everybody's going to shout when I say this, and breaking of bread. We get to go to Red Lobster, have hot garlic cheese bread. I could preach a message on bread one of these days. If pastor could just get away from bread. Bishop's not a bread eater, but I am. Dude, I eat it up. His wife made a great meal last night. Not really sure what it was. Some kind of roast. But you know what I enjoyed the most was those Hawaiian sweet rolls. And I was kind of teasing. I said, who made those? I knew they were... Hey, they're homemade by somebody. I love them. Breaking of bread. And in prayers. Wow. If we could pray together. I'm telling you, prayer changes things. When we become tall as trees is when we become on our knees. And we're seeking the favor of God. I'm telling you, this world knows when you've prayed, and they know when you haven't prayed. They know when you just shoot from the hip. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians, claim to be churchgoers. Don't claim to be it. Show it. Show it by how you live. Show it by being kind one to another. The Bible says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When we come together, Brother Garcia, supernatural begins to operate. telling you. And that's all over you, Brother Garcia. Supernatural ministry. It's over you. It is. When we learn to come together, I'm telling you, God begins to fight for us and show us things. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, there's that word again, they together continually, daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread. They said bread twice, so it must be important. From house to house, did eat their meat with gladness. There you go. Those of you vegans, Bible talks about meat. They ate their meat with gladness. Just kidding, Sister Denise. Hallelujah. Don't throw broccoli at me. I'll throw a ribeye. No, I'm just kidding. But they ate and with singleness of heart. Here's where it was, 47. I preached all that to say this. If we could learn to come together, Brother Victor, thank God for you. Life hasn't turned out the way you thought it'd turn out. But you've been prophesied over many times. I've given you words many times that I felt like God gave it to me. But I still see that sign on my old bicycling days. I had one race in my life. I was 10 years old. And on that bike it said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." That's what God's saying to you. Stick in there. Be not weary in well-doing. For a new season, the right time, appropriate time, you'll reap if you faint not. 47 says, praising God and having favor with all people. And here it is. Brother Reuben, if we could come together, the Lord adds to the church daily. We ain't got to worry about souls, Brother Reese. We just got to love one another. If we love one another, God does the work. It's His fight. It's His battle. But we've got to come together. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Every month, we have together. Next month is together we love. Valentine's Day is coming up. We got love. We got to love everybody. Be kind one to another. Together we love. If we can learn this, God will bless this church. I'm telling you, we can't house the revival that God wants for us. The way it's going to come,